listening to Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, DJ Phone.
We are back live at 218. We have Deb Pastor and Michael Bird. They are here on behalf of the Wild and Scenic Film Festival. It's an environmental film festival. Michael, why don't you give us the basics about your event, what and where?
Well, yeah, I appreciate you having us on. Mm-hmm. Prescott Creek's Friends of the Verde River and the Citizens Water Advocacy Group.
It's hard to say, isn't it?
It is, and I apologize for that. We're all presenting the Wild and Scenic Film Festival in celebration of the 50th anniversary of the Wild and Scenic Rivers Act from 1968. So the film festival happens in Prescott on Thursday, October 25th at the Elks Theater, mm-hmm. and then on Saturday, October 27th in Camp Verde at the Cliff Castle Casino Hotel.
I think a lot of people will be surprised to know that Arizona, which is, of course, is seen nationwide as a very dry state, we have more than 90,000 miles of river, and only 57.3 miles, I understand, are designated as wild and scenic. That's less than 0.1%, right?
That's correct. Yeah, the Verde River has two reaches that were designated. One is designated as wild. That's 22.2 miles from Beasley Flats down to Childs. And then the Childs to the Red Rock Creek confluence is designated as scenic, which is 18.3 miles. Mm-hmm. So that's a portion of that. And then Fossil Creek also received a designation in 2009 for 16.8 miles total, in total, and 9.3 of that is wild, and 7.5 of that is considered recreational.
Now, Prescott Creek's in a partnership with Friends of the Verde River and CWAG. They are presenting these films, and your sponsors include the Nature Conservancy, the Walton Family Foundation, and Arizona Public Service. So tell us what these 75 minutes of short films are going to tell us.
Well, yeah, before we jump into the films, what I'd love to do is just talk a little bit more about the act. It was actually signed on October 2nd, way back in 1969, and that was President Lyndon Johnson. The Congressional Act actually preserves rivers across the country, and in the national system, there are currently not quite 13,000 miles of river protected, and that's in 40 states and Puerto Rico, and 210 different rivers are represented. So just like Arizona, it's a very small portion of the total rivers that we've got within the country.
Mm-hmm. And what differentiates them? What makes them protected rivers, protected water bodies?
Well, I think states have come together, state representatives have come together, and each of those designations I listed off, wild, scenic, and there's a recreational category as well. Wild rivers are those, I tend to think of them, they're sort of like wilderness. They're very inaccessible. They're very untouched by humans over time. So in a lot of ways, I think that wild designation is kind of, you know, it's the penultimate designation that you could get. Scenic rivers are also rivers that are in really good shape, don't have impoundments. Their shorelines and their watersheds are still largely primitive, but they may be accessible by roads, whereas mm-hmm. the wild ones you can't get to by a road.
Explain impoundments for me.
Impoundment would be a dam or levees or things like that where water is held back. Those mm-hmm. can be big game changers when it comes to how a river functions. And so with this wild and scenic designation, it's really looking for those rivers that don't have those kinds of impediments on them. And then recreational would be that last category. They can be accessible by road, railroad. They may have some development along their shorelines, but they're still worthy of recognition and good rivers to get people out to. And
what kinds of recreation do you consider healthy for the river and the watershed?
I tend to go more toward passive recreation, things that really aren't taking away the river's resources or leaving things behind. I tend to walk and hike and do a lot of photographing, so that's kind of one of those things where we don't have a big impact on the river. But boating, kayaking, canoeing, those sorts of activities, I think, fit as well. And then I think as you get more into motorized, those types of things start to have a wider impact. And I'm not here to say that those aren't good recreational activities, but I think in the context of wild and scenic, it starts to become less compatible.
I can still recall, I think for the early 90s, some of the pickup truck manufacturers were showing commercials, showing people tearing up riverbeds, going through them, you know, spewing mud and water everywhere. That's not the kind of recreation you want to endorse for this particular region, right?
That has a big impact on the river, and it's not great for fish and those sorts of things, so mm-hmm. Yeah, probably not.
Deb, tell us how you and Michael got involved in producing these movies.
Why don't you carry that one?
Sure. I think the three organizations, Prescott Creeks, Friends of the Verde River, and CWAG, all kind of came together to celebrate this 50th anniversary of this act. And I think each of our organizations have a mission that's focused on rivers and water resources, and specifically on the Verde River system that's right here in our own watershed. So the Verde River begins at Paulden. Its headwaters, if you will, are in Paulden, and then it flows downstream through the Verde Valley before it joins the Salt River in the northeast Phoenix area. So I think with each of our organizations, we've been looking for ways to kind of work together to take actions to help protect the river and highlight what's happening with our river. Mm-hmm. So this is a great opportunity to celebrate something that has been going on for 50 years, some very impressive things have happened. In addition to our two water bodies that are designated here in Arizona, there's actually a proposal for a third designation to add about 50 miles of wild and scenic to the Verde River.
Where would that be?
It would be essentially from the headwaters at Paulden all mm-hmm. the way downstream to Clarkdale. That would be the biggest stretch. And then there's a smaller section on Granite Creek where it joins the Verde at its headwaters. And then another portion within Sycamore Canyon on Sycamore Creek. And for anybody who's been out there, those are just really beautiful areas of the river, fairly inaccessible. But there's just biologically, there's a lot going on. There are a lot of different endangered and threatened species that are worthy of protection. And so, we would love to see that move forward. It was originally drafted in 2009, but hasn't been fully moved forward quite yet.
Mm-hmm. Deb, what are some of the films you're excited about?
Well, the Wild and Scenic Film Festival, they collect many award-winning, gorgeously shot, well-narrated films that focus on water, rivers, and wildlife. And we have chosen some films that relate to water supplies in Arizona, such as mining, dam removal, grass restoration on ranch lands, bird migration, and light pollution. And one of the films that kind of explains the wild and scenic designation would be called River Connections, and that's at the 3:30 screening. There are different films in each screening. River Connections tells how designated partnership wild and scenic rivers connect communities by fostering collaboration among local river management partners. And this film follows river stewards on three rivers and highlights the inspiration, complexities, and joy behind communities coming together to protect the rivers, not unlike what we're all doing, us three partners. Another one in the first screening is called Selah. And it's about David Bamberger from Church's Chicken, and he devoted his life to restoring neglected and overgrazed ranch in Texas Hill Country. And he restored the natural ecological functions, filled hillside aquifers, brought springs back to life, created riparian habitat, and inspired landscape movement.
Mm-hmm.
From the 6:30 screening, a couple that we like are, one is called The Wild President, and it's about Jimmy Carter's first paddling trip down a very powerful wild river. Another one called Lost in Light is three entrancing minutes of night skies from different cities with varying levels of light pollution, so it labels the numbers and you can get to a good idea. There's one called A Letter to Congress, which is Wallace Stegner's 1960 letter to Congress about the importance of wilderness, and it's a beautiful tone poem. And it's in both the programs. It closes out both of the programs.
Mm-hmm. What do you hope viewers will take away after seeing these films?
People might get a little motivated to protect these pristine places and protect the water supplies, the water quality, for generations to come and other people to enjoy, because it's a good place to clean your mind and mm-hmm. relax. And we can all go on about how many reasons there are to keep now, beautiful wild places.
You mentioned water supplies. Do any of these provide drinking water?
Any of what?
Of these protected rivers.
Yeah, the Verde.
The Verde provides
yeah.
drinking water?
Okay. Phoenix.
Yeah, the Verde provides, I can't remember the exact number, I want to say it's a significant percentage, I want to say mm-hmm. like 40% of the drinking water for the Phoenix
that
area.
That much, wow.
And, you know, that's our population center in this state.
Sure.
And so while places like Prescott are pulling water out of the ground, not directly out of surface water, mm-hmm. It's, you know, legally the surface water and groundwater are not connected, but physically out in the field, you know, that groundwater recharges the river, and the river contributes to the groundwater, and so everybody's chocolate and peanut butter are all mixed up when it
sure.
comes to that water. And I think in response to your question about what my hope is that people will go away with is... you know, a lot of these films they're small films, they're independently produced. They really bring a tremendous amount of heart and soul to telling these stories. Mm-hmm. And I think that folks are going to walk away feeling inspired, or I hope they do. Wherever you stand on the land, you stand within a watershed. And here in Prescott, in the Quad City areas, and then over in the Verde Valley, we're all in the same watershed. That's the Verde River watershed. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, whatever you do in the landscape, wherever your job is, wherever you're driving around, we're all contributing to the issues, both positive and negative, that that watershed holds. Mm-hmm. And so our hope is that folks will start thinking about how they're leading their daily lives and how that connects to the river in both those good and negative ways. If we identify good ways that we're helping the Verde, let's do more of that. And if folks start thinking about ways that, oh, well, maybe that's not so good for the river, maybe we can, you know, all collectively do a little bit of our lives a little bit differently, and maybe that contributes to the Verde in positive ways.
How do you feel when you see local governing bodies approving very, very large housing developments, which, of course, will sharply increase the population and, of course, the demand on water?
I think I'll speak for Prescott Creeks because that's my day job. That's mm-hmm. the hat that I wear. We have been very cautious about getting into that water debate. I think that a lot of conversation needs to happen, and I think that a very broad approach needs to be taken when it comes to looking at those types of changes in our watershed. There are no simple answers, and one of my favorite sayings recently has been, every solution has a problem.
Indeed. Tell us about the role of the South Yuba River Citizens League, or CIRCLE.
CIRCLE is a group not unlike the three partners, Friends of the Verde or Prescott Creeks or Citizens Water Advocacy Group, in that they protect a river that's up in the Sierra Mountains, just upstream from Sacramento. And as they were looking for ways to kind of highlight the issues with their particular river, get folks involved, and generate some revenue, they put together this film festival. And while it's not of the size of, say, Banff, that a lot of people are familiar with, mm-hmm. the Banff Mountain Film Festival, I think the model is very similar in that they bring films to their community, run a film festival. If I recall, it typically happens in January each year. And then they package those up and send it on the road to groups like ours. Mm-hmm. And so while they've had many more films than the 13 that we'll be showing, you know, each group can kind of pick which films relate to their area. Mm-hmm. So the CIRCLE is their acronym. They've done a great job at this, and I actually got to go to this film festival, I'll say 10, 12 years ago, and mm-hmm. it was really a joy to be there for a couple of days.
And CIRCLE has been doing this, I understand, for about 15 years now?
Correct. Yeah, and they've gotten a lot better over the years. Mm-hmm. Prescott Creeks did this event, I want to say back 2005, 2006. 2006, something like that.
You know, even though these are small independent films, when I think of water issues and films, my favorite movie of all time is Chinatown, which is all about how Los Angeles went from being a desert community to being a thriving metropolis, and it isn't a pretty story.
That's
for sure.
Yeah.
Lessons to be learned from that. So tell us once again when and where these films are showing.
So the Wild and Scenic Environmental Film Festival is taking place on Thursday, October 25th in Prescott at the Elks Theater, and then on Saturday, October 27th in Camp Verde at the Cliff Castle Casino Hotel. And each one of those venues will have two different showings, one beginning at 3:30, one beginning at 6:30, and advance tickets are $15 for each showing or $25 for a double feature. And then at the door, tickets will be $18 for each showing or $30 for a double feature. And folks can get tickets and info at verderiver.org/wild-scenic. And it is a benefit for the three organizations as well as an outreach activity. So all the money goes to support work on the Verde River.
And those three organizations, once again, are Prescott Creeks, Friends of the Verde River, and the Citizens Water Advocacy Group, correct?
Correct.
Okay, any final words before we go?
There's one more film called Sky Migrations, and it follows the spring-fall migrating raptors through two hemispheres worth of wild and healthy ecosystems, and I'm mostly excited about that one.
There you go. Thank you. Thank you, Deb Pastor and Michael Bird. Stay tuned because we've got Link coming up with local and state news and weather, followed by a chat with Stacy Darrington about what's going on at Circle L Ranch on today's Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM, 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, and streaming live at KQNA.com.